When I was a young Christian, I had just come to faith in Christ. I used to go to an old Christian bookstore that was in somebody's converted garage, the Kuntz family, and they introduced me to a writer named C.S. Lewis. And the first book of C.S. Lewis's that I read was this, The Problem of Pain. And I went on to love all of C.S. Lewis's works, but here was someone who could make an argument, make a case for something based not only upon what Scripture says, but upon logic. This college professor, at University of Oxford and later Cambridge, who had vivid memories of when he was an atheist and then an agnostic and then came to believe in theism and then came to believe in Christ. He was brought kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God, he said, because he was so resistant. It was so unpopular for an intellectual of his caliber to be a Christian. That seemed kind of, you know, naive and almost what the ignorant, uneducated classes of people believed. But he came to believe in Christ. He was compelled to. That had a huge influence on me because I had been raised in a non-Christian home. I didn't know what I believed about God, but I found myself drawn to Christ and drawn to those who could make intellectual arguments that were satisfying to me. I think that affected my life and growth as a Christian and later affected my own writing. And certainly what I read next affected me, because on the same bookshelf I found these other books by C.S. Lewis, Out of the Silent Planet, followed by Paralandra, and then finally followed by, I've got a hardcover edition of it here, That Hideous Strength. Now these three books are called Lewis's Space Trilogy, and they fed my imagination. Now, I was a kid who loved books about superheroes, comic books, Greek mythology, larger-than-life stuff, fiction. I subscribed to fantasy and science fiction magazine, and when I saw that the same person who wrote The Problem of Pain and these other nonfiction books that I was then reading, of course, Mere Christianity, had this kind of imagination, that he could write science fiction, that he could write tales of other worlds, in the same way that Lewis said that George MacDonald had baptized his imagination, C.S. Lewis baptized my imagination. And that's why, to this day, C.S. Lewis has had a profound effect on all of my writing, both fiction and nonfiction. And I love the ability to move from fiction to nonfiction. Later I came to read the Chronicles of Narnia and loved them. And so my sense of C.S. Lewis and his role in my life is someone who taught me that the same person could write both fiction and nonfiction. And I determined to do that in the early 90s after I'd written only nonfiction. I thought, I'm going to try my hand at fiction and see how it works. But Lewis has such a role in my fiction that literally he's a character in my novel Dominion, where he's a guide to a woman named Danny who dies and goes to heaven in the book Dominion. And so C.S. Lewis dialogues, talks about things, and Nancy and I have gone over to Oxford and spent quite a bit of time over there and gone to the places Lewis used to hang out and the kilns, the home that he lived in with his brother Warnie, and the Eagle and Child pub where he went and other places he went frequently, and Magdalen College where he had rooms and where he taught. And so Lewis has had a great effect on my life. One other book that I wanted to show was that even many C.S. Lewis fans will never have heard of this book. Well, let me show this one first. Voyage to Venus. And a lot of people say, what is Voyage to Venus? Well, that's just the British name, the name in UK, for Paralandra. Same book, but different name. This, The Tortured Planet, is a book that many people who know C.S. Lewis very well, who have read his biographies, who think they know his books, do not realize that he actually wrote a book called The Tortured Planet, which is a very serious, thorough revision of the larger novel, That Hideous Strength. But because this one was so big, it didn't really fit in the mass market type of edition. So in his introduction to The Tortured Planet, he says this: "In reducing the original story to a length suitable for this edition, I believe I have altered nothing but the tempo and the manner. I myself prefer the more leisurely pace. I would not wish even War and Peace or The Fairy Queen any shorter, but some critics may well think this abridgment is also an improvement." So if you think you've read everything by C.S. Lewis, get a hold of, and it's very hard to get a hold of, The Tortured Planet, and you'll find a very interesting revision of That Hideous Strength. And then I also want to show you this edition of Time Magazine, and the date is September 8th, 1947, so just post-war, where it's got Lewis with a righteous angel on one shoulder and a devil or demon on the other, and this was in relationship to the Screwtape letters. And a little story about this: I always wanted to have this magazine for a long time, all the time that I've admired Lewis, and some years ago I started checking on eBay whenever this magazine would be auctioned off. And, you know, as is often the case on eBay, it would maybe start at $10 or $15, and I'd be right in there till it hit $20 or $23 or something like that. Then they'd always end up selling for more than $100, and I wasn't anywhere near being in the running. Finally, I just said to the Lord, there's no way I'm going to spend that much money on it, and if you ever want me to have this, fine, and if not, I can certainly live without it. And then it was sometime within the next year where a C.S. Lewis collector that I developed a relationship with said, "Hey, do you have that copy of C.S. Lewis on the cover of Time magazine? Because I've got an extra copy I'd be glad to give you." And he sent it to me, and that was a delight. So sometimes the Lord provides for us in small ways, but ways that mean a lot to us.